The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, there's an event happening tonight in the Emmett Theatre in Trinity College, Dublin, to mark 76 years of Nakba, Gaza, and the struggle for justice in Palestine. Number of speakers taking part, amongst them Shawan Jabarin, who is the General Director of the Palestinian Human Rights Organisation Al-Haq, and Lubna Shomali, who's an Advocacy Manager at Badel Resource Centre for Palestinian Residency and Refugee Rights, both with me now and both very, very welcome to the show. We might talk about what's happening in Gaza in the future in a bit, but first, how important is the work of making sure awareness is maintained?
Well, the foundation of action is awareness. If you are not aware of what is happening around you, if you don't know the facts, if you don't understand what the human rights violations are, what the international crimes being committed are, if you are being provided with disinformation and misinformation, then of course you're not going to be prone to act in the correct way. So naturally, of course, informing people and making sure that they understand the situation in Palestine, the crimes that are being committed, forced displacement and transfer, colonization, apartheid, genocide, then they know that there needs to be action to stop those crimes.
And Shawan, in that sense, apathy is a real enemy in situations like this, is it? That kind of people in this part of the world kind of grow apathetic and ignorant to what is happening.
Look, the world is connected, Kira. It's so connected. And if you set a bad precedent, you have to expect that this maybe will come also to you. Because of that, when we say what's going on in Palestine, it's a horrible and horrific atrocities taking place there. It has to wakening up the human conscience, political conscience of every human beings over the world. These days, mainly during which called a new era in the new time, this is very important. When we ask, for instance, to stand, we are not asking to stand behind Palestinians because they are Palestinians. We ask you and everyone over the world to stand behind the value of justice. That's what we are asking. We are asking, you know, for accountability against the criminals, those they commit these atrocities. We ask for ending the culture of impunity. This is the main danger over the war.
Lubna, do you suspect, and this is a difficult question to answer while it's all still happening, but do you suspect that this might be an inflection point in the history of the Palestinian people? Or will it just be kind of depressingly, just a kind of another waypoint on this kind of journey of Nakba as this described 76 years of it?
Mm-hmm. It certainly has the possibility to be an inflection point. And what we are seeing happening at the level of international civil society and also very specifically at the level of Irish civil society, the Irish people, have been very principled in their stand with Palestine. And from that principled position, they can influence their governments to take action to end the genocide that is happening in the Gaza Strip, and also to take further measures to right the wrongs that have been done to the Palestinian people over 76 years. So getting to the point of having sanctions against Israel by the Irish government. And I say this, if not Ireland, then who? Ireland has been a strong supporter of the Palestinian people and their rights. Ireland was very instrumental in bringing down the apartheid regime of South Africa through their actions, through the actions of their civil society and through the actions of their government. And the same situation is happening in Palestine. A brutal colonial apartheid regime is oppressing the Palestinian people and denying them their right to self-determination and return. It needs to be held accountable, and the mechanisms in place within the international legal frameworks, what are obligations upon states, is to implement sanctions against a criminal regime and criminals.
Shawan, like every other media outlet in this part of the world, you know, we've been covering what's happening in Gaza. But if we look into the future, let's imagine this is an inflection point. What does, and I appreciate maybe these are slightly basic questions, but just bear with me. I mean, what does that part of the world look like in terms of what states exist there, where their borders are, who's guaranteeing the security of different states? I mean, in your mind, what does it look like?
No future for any oppressive regime. This is what I do believe. And I think this is the lesson of history. Another thing is no one can give you exactly how things will go in details.
Mm.
But we know sure, 100%. Palestinians, they have been fighting for their rights, fundamental rights to exercise their self-determination, right of return to their refugees, their sovereignty over their land and natural resources, to live like any other people over the world. They have been fighting in the last 100 years, and they haven't, you know, stopped, and they haven't broken down.
But is that, and sorry to cut across to you, is that, you know, Israel and a separate Palestine, two states in that territory?
Look,
because this is what the Irish government, quite possibly, it's why I ask, in the not-too-distant future, are talking about recognizing, you know, the Palestinian state, but they will recognize particular borders, and they would probably recognize two states within that region.
When it comes to two states or one state or 30 states, we are focusing on one main thing. It has to be the cornerstone, the rights of Palestinians living equally like any other people over their lands. Another thing is to dissolve the apartheid regime, to dissolve, you know, the settler colonial regime. With this settler colonial regime, you can't live in peace or security or justice or anything like this. With apartheid regime, you can't live. That's what we are. Palestinians, they have no problem with Jews. I can confirm this 100 times. That no, you know, problems with the Jews. Our problem is with the political Zionist movement. That's the case. It's not a religious conflict. It's a political conflict.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
And let's talk about return then. So how many Palestinian refugees live outside Israel or Palestine, we'll say, describe it?
50%. You are speaking about around 7 million Palestinians. They are living outside of their country as refugees. I don't want to go to the UNRWA numbers here. They're saying, you know, 5 million something. Yeah. No, we are speaking also about the people they were evicted from their and transferred from their country in 67 area. That's part of the Palestinians. And if Palestinians, they don't want to go back, this is their right to choose, you know, to go back. Israel, they have to recognize this. International, you know, community, they have to recognize this and to give Palestinians, you know, the chance to decide about all of these things. This is part of self-determination.
Yeah.
They decide.
And how does the, because I'm fascinated by this as well, Lubna, but how the mechanics of that work in terms of, you know, rights to land, property rights to land that people were dispossessed of, you know, as far back as kind of the late 1940s, early 1950s, 1967 even. So talking down the road here, and all of this is theoretical to a degree or abstract at the moment. But is it the UN involved? Is there kind of mediation and arbitration involved and how all of that works?
Well, international law and international legal frameworks actually have very rigorous principles and practices in place for return situations. And it's happened in numerous historic situations. So, for example, if we look at former Yugoslavia, if we look at the situation in former apartheid South Africa, there were reparations mechanisms. So it is not something that will happen overnight.
Mm.
It is not something where all of a sudden people will be able to return and then millions and millions of people will be at the borders. No, these are very organized, very methodical, very planned out situations in which normally, first of all, there has to be a dismantling of the colonial apartheid regime, which even if they were returned, they would be displaced again anyway, because the mechanisms, policies and practices, they can't be there any longer. And then usually there has to be some kind of international type of agency assigned to this situation. Now, believe it or not, the Palestinian refugee and IDP population do have an organization like this. However, it is defunct. It was established by the UN. But regardless of this fact, it's not something that people, the way people think about it, is that it's going to be disorganized or it's going to be catastrophic or it's going to be something that is not managed properly. Reparations systems and reparations practices, including justice and accountability for perpetrators, are not something that, you know, you can do overnight or on the fly. They have to be developed and created. And at the center of those mechanisms is, as Shawan said, the choice of the Palestinian people to choose their durable solutions, to choose their political future, to choose where they reside and where they live and what they do.
And what about the Jewish people currently on that land? How is that managed?
Look, because of that, we are speaking about not the Jews and the Jewish. We are speaking about, you know, the system.
Oh, I understand that in terms of dismantling the Zionism, and Zionism is not Judaism.
I think at the end, we can find a way if we can live together in democratic, full democratic, without discriminatory regimes, without apartheid regimes, without colonial regimes. That's, I think, it will be a solution for everybody. There, for the refugees, for the Jews, for Christians, for anyone. We can deal with that. But this is, I think, another issue is ending the occupation. Ending the occupation. This is also another element, is very, very important. When we speak about also 67 area occupations, settlements, evictions from lands and evictions from homes, and demolitions of the houses, homes, burning, all of these things, this is the case. I think the recognition, it's a start first. The Israelis, they have to recognize first. Second, to dismantle these, you know, all of the racist regimes and policies and actions, to dismantle it, it will be accepted. Palestinians, they spoke about one democratic state in historical Palestine, you know, for everybody.
And Lubna, to bring us back around to the start, in order to get to that point and to ensure that we are living through an inflection and that we're not having the same conversation in 10 years and 20 years and 30 years and nothing has changed, what has to happen outside of Israel and Palestine?
The time for talking about a ceasefire is over. It's been over 7 months of genocide. The time for symbolic actions is also over. Again, 7 months of genocide, 76 years of ongoing Nakba, 76 years of displacement, forced displacement and transfer, colonization and apartheid. It's time to hold Israel accountable. And the best way to do that is through sanctions. And as I said before, if we cannot count on our allies, if we cannot count on the countries and states who are upholding international law and international legal principles and the values and the moral consciousness. So it's not only legally correct or morally correct, but it's also an obligation on states to hold Israel accountable for its international crimes. And so sanctions, economic, diplomatic, military are what need to happen in order for us to move forward, to bring about a ceasefire, to ensure the delivery, unrestricted and unconditional delivery of aid to Palestinians in the Gaza Strip, to ensure that Israeli forces withdraw from the Gaza Strip, and to ensure the implementation of the Palestinian people's rights to self-determination and return.
Well, Lubna Shamali, Shawan Jabarin, they are both speaking, as I said, in the Emma Theatre in the Arts Block in Trinity College Dublin this evening, 76 years of Nakba Gaza and the struggle for justice in Palestine. Thank you both very much for joining
me.
Thank you.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.